Have you ever wondered why some believers' prayers are answered quickly, while others seem unheard? The reason is that many of God's children do not know how to speak to Him properly. In other words, they don't know how to present their cases before God in a way that gives Him a good reason to grant what they're asking for. Let me explain. What most Christians fail to realize is that the spiritual realm is very legalistic by nature. This means that the spiritual realm operates much like a courtroom. When you approach God in prayer, you are coming before the judge of all the earth to present your case, and the way you present your case before God will determine the outcome. When Jesus died on the cross, He gave us direct access to God's throne of grace. Now we can come boldly and present our cases. But the problem is that most Christians do not know how to argue their case correctly before God. They offer weak prayers that often go unanswered. Sometimes you may find a believer with a very important need going into God's presence, but they present their case so weakly that they do not get what they desire. For example, let's say two people are sick and go to pray because both want healing. The first person prays saying, "God, I feel sick, heal me," and stops there. The second person prays saying, "Lord Jesus, sickness is trying to attach itself to my body, but your word tells me in Exodus 15:26 that you are Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals me. It is also written in your word in Jeremiah 30:17 that you will restore my health. In Isaiah 53:5, you confirmed that by your stripes I am healed. You also mentioned in Psalms 103:2-3 that you forgive all my iniquities and heal all my diseases. In Matthew 8:17, you promised me that you took upon yourself my infirmities and carried my diseases. You also promised in 1 Peter 2:24 that by your wounds I have been healed. Lord, I present back to you your word as evidence that you desire me to walk in divine health. I reject this sickness and disease now, because according to Mark 16, you have given me power over sickness. I do not want to die, because it is written in Psalms 118:17 that I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. And Romans 1:17 tells me that the just shall live by faith. By faith, I stand on your word and declare total healing in my body in the mighty name of Jesus. Now here is the truth. Between the first person and the second person, the prayer of the second person carries much more power and weight than that of the first person. And the reason is simple. The second person's prayer is backed by scriptures. It's not about the length of their words, but the quality. The second person's prayer will be much more pleasing to God because they are arguing their case based on what is written and not just on emotions. As simple as it is, the statement, "It is written," is very powerful. Not even Satan can stop it. The moment you mention what is written, everything bows. Notice that every time Jesus said what was written, the devil always changed the subject, because even the devil knows that God's word is extremely powerful. Many years ago, before my grandfather passed away, he always said that he would not die before he was 100 years old. This did not make sense to us, because we knew that only God had the final word on how long a man would live. In fact, my grandfather told us many times, jokingly over the years, that if we heard he had died before he was 100, we should not take the news seriously. We always laughed, but as I observed him closely, I discovered that his secret lay in his belief system, his prayers, and the Word of God. Sometimes my father and I would search for him everywhere, only to find him secretly praying, and his prayers were often filled with petitions and scriptures. He always liked to declare reasons to God about why he needed more time to live. He always liked to quote Psalms 118:17, saying that he still had much to do for God and that he would not die before 100 years, but live to declare the works of God. In fact, there were several times my father and I would go to his room and find him sleeping, and my father thought he had passed away, only for my grandfather to wake up and say to my father, "What is your problem?" He told us that he still had many people to care for and needed more time to fulfill his purpose. He kept his promises, and surprisingly, exactly one day after his 100th birthday, he passed away peacefully. This was powerful because he understood the power of petition and gave God a good enough reason to keep him alive. He understood that if you hold God to his word and give him a good reason to grant what you desire, God will honor his word above his name, and that is why he was able to live so long. God's word is your evidence. As long as you present what is written with confidence and give God good reasons for what you desire, God cannot go back on his word. Reminding God of his word is not because he has forgotten it, but because when you become born again, you become a co-heir with Jesus. This means that you have the same right as Jesus to stand before God and ask for what you desire. Praying this way is so effective because you are essentially backing your requests with God's own word. What you are essentially doing is taking the biblical promises and using them as proof that God must grant what you are asking for. Just as an earthly court operates by established laws, so does the throne room of heaven. God has established spiritual laws, and his judgments are always according to his word. Psalms 138:2 says that God honors his word above his name. This means that God can never go back on his promises or what he has written. Just as evidence is presented before a court, present your evidence confidently, like a lawyer. Do not beat around the bush or weakly beg God for help. Declare your case boldly, remind God of the scriptures and promises that support your arguments. The Bible tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. So, present your need, argue your case based on the word, and then ask God to grant your request based on his promises. Job 23.4 says, "I would state my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments." Notice that Job said he would fill his mouth with arguments. This is what you should do too. Confidence is key when presenting your case before God. Hebrews 10:19 says, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus." This verse encourages us to approach God with boldness and confidence because of Jesus' sacrifice. When you stand before God, you should speak with the assurance that he hears you and will act according to his word. As I mentioned earlier, the spiritual realm operates legally. When we approach God in prayer, we are presenting a case before a judge. God, the righteous judge, hears our case and makes a decision based on his word. As believers, we have access to present our cases directly to God because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. You must argue your case before God and give him solid reasons based on his own words. Say things like, "Lord, you promised in your word that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Heavenly Father, your word says that you supply all my needs according to your riches in glory. Therefore, I boldly ask you to provide this need that I am presenting before you today. Father, your word says that by your stripes I was healed, so I declare total healing in my body now. Sickness has no legal right to operate in me, for you sent your word and healed me. Because the Bible tells us that God is not a liar. This means that if you remind him of what he said, he can never deny it, and he will do it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:13 that if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God exalts his word even above his name. He is bound to honor what he has spoken. When we present our cases before him, we must argue using his spoken word to strengthen our positions. This allows us to hold God to his word while we pray. Just as a good lawyer uses the law to argue cases, for us the word is the law that we use to argue before God. And the truth is that God loves people who present their cases with facts using the scriptures. He loves it because, first, it shows him that you know what you are talking about. Second, it shows that you trust him. And third, it shows that you are diligent enough to study his word and his will. In Isaiah 1:18 it is written, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. God is your father," which means you can speak to him in the language of a son or daughter. But there are certain issues or occasions when you will have to speak to him as a judge. and the way you speak to him on those occasions is to speak based on what he has said. To argue your case effectively before God, you must know his word. Petition or supplication is a form of prayer, where you ask God for something fervently and humbly. The first thing you need to do is identify the promise. Find scriptures that relate to your situation. The Bible is full of promises that cover every aspect of life. The second thing you need to do is prepare your case just as a lawyer prepares for court. Gather your scriptures and understand them deeply. Present with confidence. Approach God with boldness, ensuring that what you are asking for is aligned with his will. Because 1 John 5, 14-15 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." As long as your cases are aligned with what he has already said in his word, you can present them with boldness, knowing that he will confirm them. No devil in hell can stop God from fulfilling what he has already promised. Finally, stand firm. Maintain your faith and confidence that God will fulfill his word. Hebrews 10:35 says, "So do not throw away your confidence, it will be richly rewarded." This is how people in the Bible prayed. In Isaiah 38, King Hezekiah was told he would die. He prayed to God, reminding him of his faithfulness, and asked for more years. God granted his request, adding 15 years to his life. It says, "Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, 'Remember, Lord, how I've walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, 'Go and tell Hezekiah, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David, says, I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will add 15 years to your life.'" Isaiah 38, 2-5, NKJV. In Exodus 32, 11-14, the Bible says that after the Israelites made a golden calf and worshipped it, God was ready to destroy them. However, Moses pleaded with God to spare them, appealing to his promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his reputation among the nations. In verse 13, Moses specifically said, "Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self, and said to them, 'I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever.'" Exodus 32:14 then says, "So the Lord relented from the harm which he said he would do to his people." I hope this teaching has given you a better idea of how to speak to God. Remember, approach God with confidence based on his word. Thank you very much for watching. If you liked our video, feel free to subscribe to our YouTube channel. The secret to effective prayer lies in understanding God's word and how we use it to argue our cases before him. In Isaiah 43:26, God says, "Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case, that you may be acquitted." God invites us to present our arguments based on his word. This means we must be deeply familiar with the scriptures so that we can remind God of his promises. Remember the story of Daniel. In Daniel 9, he prayed fervently to God, reminding him of the promises he had made to the people of Israel. Daniel read in the books that the 70 years of desolation of Jerusalem were about to end, according to the word of the Lord to the prophet Jeremiah. Based on that word, Daniel turned to God in prayer and supplication, fasting and wearing sackcloth and ashes. He confessed the sins of Israel and asked God to fulfill his promise to restore Jerusalem. Daniel 9:19 records his prayer, "O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name." Daniel was effective in his prayer because he based his arguments on God's promises. When we pray, we are not just talking to God, we are presenting our cases before him. And for our cases to be strong, we must base them on the scriptures. If we are weak in our knowledge of God's word, our prayers will also be weak. Therefore, it is essential that we spend time in the word, studying and meditating on it. Psalms 1:2-3 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Meditating on God's word strengthens us and enables us to pray effectively. Prayer is a powerful weapon, but it must be used correctly. James 5:16 says, "The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." For our prayers to be effective, we must pray with faith and based on God's word. We must also pray with a pure heart. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear." Therefore, it is important that we repent of our sins and approach God with a pure heart. Another example of an effective prayer is that of Hannah, the mother of Samuel. In 1 Samuel 1, Hannah was barren and suffered greatly because of it. She prayed fervently to the Lord, pouring out her heart before him and making a vow. She said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant, and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." 1 Samuel 1:11 NKJV. God heard her prayer and granted her a son, Samuel, who became a great prophet in Israel. Hannah's prayer was effective because she prayed with faith, fervor, and sincerity. Prayer is a conversation with God, but it is also a presentation of our cases before him. We must be diligent in our study of God's word so that we can pray effectively. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." God's word is powerful and effective, and when we use it in our prayers, we are wielding a powerful weapon. Another powerful story is that of Jehoshaphat, who faced a great enemy army. In 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat sought the Lord in prayer, acknowledging his own inability and dependence on God. He said, "O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you?" 2 Chronicles 26, NKJV. He reminded God of the promises made to Israel and asked for his intervention. God responded to Jehoshaphat's prayer, saying, "You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you." 2 Chronicles 20:17, NKJV. Jehoshaphat's prayer was effective because he acknowledged God's sovereignty and trusted in his promises. Prayer is a powerful tool that God has given us to communicate with him and present our cases before him. We must use this tool wisely, basing our prayers on God's word and presenting our cases with confidence and faith. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." We must present our request to God with prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, trusting that he will hear and answer our prayers. Prayer is more than just asking God for things. It is a means of connecting with him, aligning our hearts with his, and seeking his will for our lives. When we pray, we should first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to us. Matthew 6:33. We should pray for God's will to be done in our lives and in the world around us. In Matthew 6:9-13, Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We should also pray for one another. James 5:16 says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed." the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Praying for one another is a powerful way to support and encourage our brothers and sisters in the faith. In Ephesians 6:18, Paul exhorts us to pray, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Prayer is a way to care for one another and to intercede on behalf of others. Prayer is also a way to seek God's direction for our lives. In James 1:5, we are encouraged to ask God for wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. When we seek God's direction in prayer, he guides us and shows us the way to go. In Proverbs 3:5-6, we are instructed to trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Prayer is a way of surrendering to God and seeking his will for our lives. In Luke 22:42, Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Prayer is a way of surrendering to God's will, even when it is difficult or uncomfortable. In Romans 12, 1-2, we are exhorted to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prayer is a way of strengthening ourselves in the Lord and preparing for the spiritual battles we face. In Ephesians 6, 10-18, Paul instructs us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, to put on the whole armor of God so that we may stand against the wiles of the devil. Part of this armor is prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Prayer is a vital part of our spiritual preparation and defense against the enemy's attacks. Prayer is also a way of seeking revival and spiritual renewal. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, God promises, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." When we seek God in prayer, humility and repentance, he promises to hear our prayers and bring healing and renewal. In Habakkuk 3:2, the prophet prays, "O Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years make it known. In wrath remember mercy." Prayer is a way of seeking divine intervention in difficult situations. In Acts 12, Peter was in prison, and the church prayed fervently for him. God answered their prayers and sent an angel to free Peter from prison. In Acts 16, Paul and Silas were in prison, and as they prayed and sang hymns to God, there was a great earthquake that opened the prison doors and loosened everyone's chains. Prayer has the power to bring deliverance and divine intervention in our lives. Prayer is a way of connecting with God in a personal and intimate relationship. In John 15:7, Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Prayer is a way of abiding in Christ and allowing his words to abide in us. In Psalms 27:8, David says, "When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" Prayer is a way of seeking God's presence and connecting with him in an intimate relationship. Prayer is a way of thanking God for his blessings and praising him for his goodness. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, Paul instructs us, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." Prayer is a way of expressing our gratitude to God and praising him for his blessings in our lives. In Psalms 104, we are instructed to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Prayer is a way of seeking God's peace in the midst of difficulties. In Philippians 4:6-7, Paul encourages us, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we present our concerns to God in prayer, He grants us His peace, which surpasses all understanding. Prayer is a way of preparing for the future and seeking God's direction for our lives. In Proverbs 16:3, we are instructed to commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Prayer is a way of submitting our plans to God and seeking His guidance for the future. In Jeremiah 29:11, God promises, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Prayer helps us align our plans with God's plans and seek His will for our lives.